Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning, and we just want to thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Lord, we pray for your guidance this morning, Lord, as we open your precious word. Help us see clearly your word, Father, in the fog of this world. Lord, may it be truly a lighthouse to us, Father, that we can fall back upon and trust. Lord, we just thank you, God. We ask that you give us wisdom. We pray, Lord, for your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. Thankful to be back with you today. Lord bless you all. Had a real good trip to India. Met with Brother Raja and Eba, and they send their greetings, and the pastors there, just keep them in your prayers. This morning I want to open the Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. Jesus speaking. I want to emphasize that. Jesus speaking. Not your theologians. Jesus speaking. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. We look at the Pharisees and all we see is bad and evil. And we, modern theology or Christianity has taken the scribes and Pharisees and made them into the worst there is. And maybe because of their hypocrisy, they are among the worst. But Jesus never condemned the scribes nor the Pharisees for that which they were doing right. He only condemned them because of their hypocrisy. Whenever he says that except your righteousness exceed their righteousness, what is he saying? What was the righteousnesses of the scribes and Pharisees? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. No, I'm sorry, 23. Matthew chapter 23. We'll just start right there. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Christianity today has left the other undone and think that they have the other done, which I don't believe they have anyway. We often look at the scribes and the Pharisees, and it's easy to pick on them, because Jesus clearly singles them out. And so people have thrown anything that is good out and added and done their own righteousness. Whenever he calls someone self-righteous, that's someone who's went about to establish their own righteousness. Whatever level that is, even if it's none, it's still just your own. That's what God condemns. He never condemns people who try to do what's right. He never condemns people who do what's right. There's such a fog today in this world that it's hard for us to see that. This cloud of gray and all these false teachers telling us that black is white and white is black and good is bad and bad is good, and all of this cloud just descends upon us. And it's so difficult for us to see clearly what the Bible says sometimes. The Bible says that the king of this world, the prince of this world, has blinded their minds. And their minds are blinded. They can't even see right and wrong. And they just keep telling their lies long enough until everyone starts to believe them. And they keep telling their lies long and loud and hard, and we keep hearing them continually. And it begins to cloud things in our minds sometimes. But don't let it. Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees. We look at righteous, and if you say something about someone being righteous, well, they're automatically bad. And that's wrong. They're good. The righteous are good. The wicked are bad. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Go on to verse 24. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within ye are full of extortion and excess. Within, they are full of extortion and excess. You make clean the outside of the cup and the platter. Except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and the Pharisees had the outside down. They knew how to live under the law. They knew how to obey the outward law to where they would appear to men to be righteous. They had that part. And he didn't condemn it at all. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. I think I can find it fairly quickly. I had it just a moment ago. Luke. Same account here. Maybe someone can help me. This is a different account, but it will work. And he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, how do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness? Ye fools, did not he that make that which is within, that without make that which is within also? That isn't really what I was looking for. What did it? Yeah, but that's not the part I'm looking for. Chapter 20 and what? 46. No, what I'm looking for is. And I had it just a moment ago. I just didn't write it down. But anyway, what I want to point out here is verse 26 in Matthew 23. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first. Cleanse first. Who is he telling to make the cleaning? Wait until Jesus cleans your heart and comes into your heart. It's not what he told the Pharisee. He told the Pharisee, cleanse first your own heart. He didn't say, receive Jesus into your heart and he'll make you clean. He said, cleanse first. He gave him instructions on how to do it. Cleanse first that which is on the inside. Our thinking is so messed up that we miss some of these little simple words. Cleanse first. Well, no one would ever even think that they were able to clean their heart because of the thoughts that are going around in the world today. But the Bible says it clearly. Cleanse first the outside or the inside, that the outside of them may be clean also. You got to have both. You have these people running around saying, I've got God in my heart, and I've got a pure heart. And they look like the devil on the outside. Then you got another group of people running around saying, I'm doing all the right things on the outside. But then they live like the devil on the inside. They're full of covetousness. They're full of pride and envy. And they think they've got all the bases covered because they're living right on the outside. And they appear unto men to be righteous. But inside they're ravening wolves, full of wickedness and excess, the Bible talks about. God says to them, cleanse first the inside. That the outside may be cleaned also. Whenever we look at righteousness, it says, Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed that of the righteousness in the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. That just don't fit with what's being taught today. They take the one verse, and we've looked at it before in Isaiah 64. And they look at this verse and they built their doctrines upon it, and they poison people's mind with taking a little verse here or a little verse there, instead of looking at the whole of what Jesus is trying to teach. You don't find, whenever you look up righteousness in Strong's or in any concordance, there's page of little bitty lines. I don't know how many times the Bible mentions righteousness and how it exalts it and calls men to it, and God praises it. And some pointy-headed little theologian can come along somewhere and pick one verse and take it completely out of context and say that God said, your righteousness is like a pile of filthy rags. And the whole world just throws out everything that the Bible has to say and builds a doctrine on that one verse. And it clearly says, and it's clearly Isaiah speaking, lamenting the wickedness of his people. It's not God speaking, saying that your righteousness is as filthy rags to me. I hate them. Don't do them. Don't be righteous. That's what people are left with whenever they hear this verse. But we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags. What poison whenever it's used the way it is to men's minds? Oh, you mean righteousness is bad? That's the conclusion they come to, that righteousness is wicked. I don't want that. I don't want to be like an unclean thing to God. So I'll just stay an unclean thing. It's not what he meant at all. And all it takes is just a simple reading through of the Word of God and how God exalts righteousness. The Bible says that righteousness exalteth a nation. But when a nation throws righteousness out, there is nothing left. Why is this country in such a horrible shape? Why is it? There's a movement in this world. It's called the Tea Party movement, supposedly wanting to get back to the Constitution. Well, I'm going to tell you what. They can get back to the Constitution all they want, and it's not going to change this country. The only way that a nation will be exalted is whenever people turn back to righteousness. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, that's not what I'm looking for. Seven fourteen. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. All your voting, all your trying to return back to a constitution, isn't going to fix a thing if the people are still wicked. It won't work. They'll just take the constitution and think that they've gotten a license to perform wickedness. And that's exactly what they have. They think freedom is just so that I can do whatever I want, whenever I want to do it. I can do wickedness anytime I want. That's what it means to be free. That is not freedom. That brings you into slavish bondage. You think getting your own way and doing your own thing is freedom? All you're doing is building a bunch of chains, wrapping them around your hands and feet and neck, because you're headed for bondage. Got a little thing that I'd heard about several years ago, and Brian found it again. The man speaking about this country and the greatness of America that is often touted and often talked about and often spoken about. And he refers to this as coming from the pulpits, not from the Congress. The early Christians, the early Protestants, the early church people of the day, and I'm talking about people that we wouldn't even believe would have been following the teachings of Christ. But they did have a fear of God. And it's that fear of God that brings men to Christ. I went through that whenever I first became a Christian. And I had a struggle for a while about whether to be a patriot or to be a saint. I didn't know which way I wanted to turn. I didn't know which way was right. But as I began to weigh things and understand them and read the Bible, I began to see that there's a much higher way than just restoring a nation. There's a much higher way than just returning a land. There's a kingdom of God, and it's eternal. If people would just sit down and think, just for a few minutes, just think for a few minutes, what is going to last? What is going to be here? Is it all that you care about is just for the moment? Or do you have eternal values in your mind? There was a man, Alex de Tocqueville. I don't know who he was. Alexis de Tocqueville, who wrote one of the most famous historical accounts of early America. It is reported to have said that the greatness of America was tied to this fear of God by her people. I sought for the greatness and genius. I thought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In her fertile fields and her boundless forest, and it was not there. In her rich mines, in her vast world commerce, and it was not there. In her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. This man was a prophet. This was early on. And the nations of the world were wondering what made the U.S. such an outstanding nation among nations. And this man went to find out the answer to that. And he looked. It wasn't in the country itself. It wasn't in the democratic way of, or the republic, or the way the country was set up. It wasn't in the, how did he call it, the matchless Constitution. It was in the pulpits where men were taught a fear of God and righteousness. You go into the pulpits today, and there is no fear of God, and righteousness is mocked and laughed at. Righteousness exalteth the nation. turn to that verse. It's in Proverbs. Chapter 14. Verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. People today scorn the idea that the way you dress has something to do with your religion. Well, that's absolutely foreign to the Word of God. Except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Dressing modestly, that's just the outside. That's the easy part. Doing the outside, Jesus said, make clean the inside. That's when the work begins. Jesus goes on. Whenever he's talking, that's the beginning of where he begins to talk about what he's talking about. Where he says, you've heard in old time that if you commit adultery, that it's a sin. He said, but I say unto you, if a man looks upon a woman and lusts after her, he commits adultery in his heart. You can keep from committing adultery on the outside and appear righteous. But if that filth is in your heart, it's still in your heart. Get it out of there. Make clean the inside, that the outside may be clean also. If you're full of lust on the inside, make clean the inside. Let God have it. See, it's not us taking a brush to it. It's giving it up. He calls us. We yield. He says something's wrong. We yield and make it clean. Hate that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. It isn't easy. But you're sure not going to help it if you ain't working on it. If you just give up. You sure ain't going to get any better. righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up again. Make it clean. He talked about covetousness. Make clean the inside. You may appear on the outside righteous. Make clean the inside. What do we think of all those things that are just going to drown us? Get rid of them from the inside. Most of us already have a list of the next thing I'm going to buy when I get enough money. Sometimes that list gets pretty long. That's no way to get rid of covetousness. Just say, I'm going to just do without it. We've got enough stuff to do us for a long time. Honesty. Integrity. Seek after those things. Seek to be an honest man or woman. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Your yes, yes, and your no, no. And stand by it. Not just make an appearance. Seek after it. Jesus said, blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know what? You'll be filled. How long do you hunger and thirst after food without being filled? I don't know very many people who hunger and thirst after food that aren't filled pretty quickly. Be the same way with righteousness. You hunger and you thirst after it. Like you do a cheeseburger or a big old bowl of lettuce or something, depending on who you are. And you'll be filled. You get to hankering for something, it ain't long till you find a way to get it, is there? Make your heart clean. You start hankering after righteousness, truth in the inward man. And lo and behold, you'll be filled with it one of these days. What your heart seeks after is what your heart will find. What your heart seeks after is what your heart will find. You seek after righteousness in the inner man, mercy, grace, love, faith. And you'll begin to have it soon. It except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That ought to scare us to death. But because of the poison of this world's religions, and the poison of Christianity, we can just ignore it. Because we found a verse somewhere in Isaiah that says God hates righteousness. But everywhere I look, I can't find where He hates righteousness. I can't find where He doesn't command us to be righteous. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. The Bible talks about a wolf in sheep's clothing. A wolf dressed up like a sheep. It doesn't say anywhere about a sheep dressing like a wolf. You've got to have the mindset of this world to try to get that messed up. And there's some serious-minded people, or some sincere-minded people, that are that messed up. The prince of this world loves to find people who are sincere. And just keep things so clouded that they're confused all the time. Get back to just listening to what the Bible says. Read through it. Forget about what you ever learned. Start fresh now. And just look what it says. God talks about righteousness a lot. And He always shines it in a positive light. John the Baptist, when he came preaching, he said, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight His paths." We've got to prepare ourselves and make a place where He can abode comfortably. It's not about us aboding comfortably in His house. We need to make Him feel comfortable in ours. This idea, this lie, just come as you are. He'll just accept you, take you in with open arms, just like you are. There's not a word of that in the Bible. John the Baptist, make straight the path. That which is crooked, make straight. Let the mountains be brought low and the valleys filled up. What was he talking about? Make a path for Jesus to come into your life. Don't make it hard for Him to get there. Prepare the way. Let's pretend like he's a king. If a king was coming to your house, would you let it all grow up and be full of trash? You're out your driveway, your pathway that leads into the house. If you knew the president was coming, would you leave toys and junk scattered out all in front of it? No way. You'd clear a path for him so that he could come and feel comfortable in your place. So upside down. Acts chapter 10. I understand Brian talked about Cornelius. I want to read one verse there. Verse 35. Whenever he's talking about every nation, he's opening the door to the whole world, not just the Jews. So when he says in every nation, begin in verse 30. But Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." What he's trying to show is that he's opening the door to anyone. Not just the Jews. The Jews are supposed to be God's chosen people for righteousness. But here God is opening the door to everyone. God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. There's a message that needs to be heard. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with God. It's not about you and I accepting Jesus as our personal Savior. I was knocking on doors one time and this knocked on this prominent Lutheran man's door. And he began scolding me right away about how good of a Christian he was. And then he told me how he had accepted Jesus. And that's what made him righteous. And I said, that's not the question. Has Jesus accepted you? Is the question. That ended our friendly relationship. It's not about you accepting him. Has he accepted you? In every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. See, it's not that hard to be accepted by God. Fear him and work righteousness. It's all upside down. It's all cloudy. Don't fear God. He's your buddy. He's just waiting for you to accept him into your heart. Don't be righteous. He hates that. He just wants you to be happy and be who you are. Best way I know of to damnation. Until that gets fixed, they can go back to the Constitution all they want. They can get the perfect politicians in there. It'll still fall from rottenness in the insides. Build the biggest army you want to. When you're rotten to the core with cancer and cancer's eating you from the heart out, doesn't matter. You can appear like you love your enemies, but if there's unforgiveness and hatred in your heart, it doesn't matter. Every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness, is accepted of him. Believe God. He that believeth shall be saved. Believe him. He's just told you something. Believe him. Quit trying to pretend you're saved. Believe him. Work righteousness. Believe him. Fear him. Jesus said, don't fear him that can just kill the body, but fear him who's after he's killed the body can cast your soul into hell. Jesus said, don't just fear him that can kill the body, but fear him that after he's killed your body, he'll cast your soul into hell. Until there's a revival of fearing God and working righteousness, there's nothing but a downhill slide to a church, to a nation, to you. People might get or hope to get this world in order by getting a congressman that'll represent them. You don't have to go that far. You can get back to the Bible and do righteousness yourself. You don't need a congressman. You can just bypass that whole system. Repent. Repent. First words Jesus preached, Matthew. Change. Make clean. Repent. No one's going to do it for you. God can call you. He can convince you. He can convict you. You'll feel condemned. Listen. If you're convicted, if you're condemned, if you feel guilty all the time, it's because you're guilty. Change. Change. If you don't like feeling that way, you don't like living that way, don't rebel against God. Don't try to change theology around. You're only deceiving yourself. Fear God and work righteousness, and you will be accepted by Him. Accept your righteousness will exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. You shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. At His blessings. Father, we come before You. We just pray, Lord, Your will be done. Roll back the darkness and the clouds. This world is the prince of this world would shroud us in, Father, to keep us confused. And Lord, help us see clearly that bright and clear and high and holy path that Thou hast prepared for us. Help us walk in it. In Jesus' name. Amen.